we're holding by the Milas Hachai. I want you to say, speak about, I want to divide into two sections. One, we've been Makabal the Torah, so I want to say something which is an Dabar Yafe in learning. And then we'll say something in Chizuk and Ashkof of the Yom Matan Torah. Really prepare something, a nitziv in the Hemek Dover, and the Indian of Pikoch Nefesh with Shabbos and Yom Tov together, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva on it, different things about it, and it might be a little too involved for the present moment. So maybe we'll speak about that some other time. I'll say something a little lighter. We know that when it's a minig of Yisrael, the Ramah brings down. That's the Minig of Yisrael in Hilchus Pesach Siman Tzad Tzadik Dalad in the Halachas of Shavuos. V'noigim b'kama mekaymes le'echol ma'cholei cholov Yom Rishon Shal Shavuos. Feet milchus. The Rama himself gives a reason that there should be zeichel l'shtei alechem. You should eat milchus, and therefore you have one kikar for one loaf of bread, one challah for milchus. You have a different challah for fleishiks, because you can't use the same bread, so it's zeichel shtei alechem. You know, there was a mitzvah of shtei alechem to be makriv the shtei alechem. The Mishnah Berurah himself brings down another reason. Mishnah Berurah brings down what we're all familiar with, that when they were at Matan Torah, they were given the halachas of different halachas, even though it's not in the Aseres Adibras, but he brings down from Rav Sadia Gaon that the whole Tariag Mitzvah is somewhat merumas in the Aseres Adibris. So they were already familiar with different halachas of Issa v'Heter. Dam became Aser, even though it's not one of the Aseres Adibris, but in the Aseres Adibris you can see that there's some remes to the Issa of Dam. Halav is Aser. Different things were Aser. Shechita, they had to do Shechita. They didn't have the proper knives to do the Shechita. The kalim that already, the pots that they used from the chaylev and dam that they had eaten before, they became osir, and they didn't have new pots, and takasha the pots, they didn't have time, so therefore, they couldn't use those pots, they ate milchus. That's the reason that the Mishnah Berurah brings down Tuf Tzadik Dali, brings it down from someone. Hashem Godelech. There's a question on this town. There's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara in Chulin says like this: there's a Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, and the Sheet of Rabbi Akiva is like this, that until they came into Eretz Yisrael, if they wanted to eat meat, besides bringing a carbon with all the dinah of the carbon to bring a shlomim, but if they wanted to eat meat, so the din was that there was no din to have shechita. Shechita was nishadesh only when they come into Eretz Yisrael. Like the pasuk says, when you'll come and you'll be yarchivus vulcha v'amarta oichla, I want to eat raw meat. Then the Torah said there's a mitzvah of shechita. In the midbar, there was no requirement of shechita. There was no requirement of shechita. They could eat even without shechita. There was an Isser of Abraham and Achai, that we know. They couldn't eat it live. But there was no mitzvah of shechita. They didn't have to shecht it with the requirements of shechita. They did have to do something specific, which the Gemara calls nechira. Nechira means, in other words, they couldn't just shoot the animal in the heart and it would die and they would be able to eat it because it's not Abraham and Achai anymore. They had to do something with the same simonim that we do for shechita, but you were able to wring its neck. You could wring its neck. That's called nechira. You could wring its neck. You don't have to go through the process of shechita. You could nechira is also kosher. The Gemara in Chulin has a shayla like this: Vay Rabbi Yirmiyahu. What happens when they come into, according to Rabbi Akiva, the way Rashi explains, all the Rishon explains, according to Rabbi Akiva, that Basar Mechira was mutter, Basar that they didn't shecht was mutter in the Midbar. And they come into Eretz Yisrael now, and now they know they have to do Shechita. Is it permitted to them, for them to eat the Basar that they had from before? They didn't use up all the basar Mechira. They had leftovers, they had in the freezer, they had leftovers. And now it's coming into time when it's mechuyev and shechita, but this was permitted at a certain time. Do we say that now it becomes us or now it doesn't become us? Does it become us or now it doesn't become us? It was mutter at one point. Does it become us or it doesn't become us? That's the shaila of Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Rashi explains it to what exactly the shaila is. Okay, so it's a very interesting Rashi and a very interesting rush. Which I'll say, because it's Pashat, because we're B'nai Torah, B'nai Lomdim, we should know these different concepts that they mention. It's Pashat Kedai to know these concepts. So the Kasha, that Shver is, Rav Shlomo Zalman asks, he asks like this, L'chaira, the same type of Shaila that the Gemara, and the Gemara ends off with a Teiku. Gemara says Teiku, we don't know what the din is. Were they permitted to continue eating the basar mechira, this dead meat that they had in their provisions that they had after they came into Eretz Yisrael when it was given already in mitzvah shechita or not? Rav Shlomo Zalman asked that lechayr, the same idea, the same line that's running through the shaila, whether it's mutter or aser, something which was mutter before now it becomes aser. Lechayr, you have legabi this by matan tayra, chaylev was mutter, dam was mutter. Chazer was mutter. Good, they cooked their pots with it, and they had even the lot. They had the dead pig. They had the chaylev, and they had the dam. Now, by matan Torah, suddenly it becomes osur. So the chayra is shayla. You have the same shayla, whether something which was once mutter and now the Torah gives it din that it's osur. But do we say that the Easter doesn't apply to it or not? The Easter only applies for something from here on in. Pigs now, from here on in, are going to be osur. The pigs that until now that they had already, that they set aside for eating, they say Atidakah, that they set aside for eating, that those don't become osur. Or maybe yes, or maybe they do become osur. So who says that it's so poshut that the kalim that they used for the pig, for the chazer, the kalim that they used for the chaylev, the kalim that they used for the dam, for all the trays of things that they used, who says that they can't use it? The Gemara doesn't even try and bring a riot from that. The Chayra, on the side that it's mutter, so here it's also mutter. Why is this, the Chayra, this is not a good reason for the reason of eating the milchits? Because who says that the pots are osur? Who says that the chazer is osur? That was put aside for eating in a time that it's mutter, and then it becomes osur. This still could be mutter. The Gemara has a shayla about it. That's the shaila of Shlomo Zalman is. Oh, that is an interesting rush over here and an interesting Rashi. And this is the point that you should know, that what the rush points out about Rashi. Okay, you have to know a little bit more of Shas, but I'll tell you quickly what it says. The rush brings it all down. The rush is terrific over here. Rashi says, this shaila l'chayr is not nogeya. It's not nogeya. When do you ever have something which is mutter and then becomes osur? The Torah was given. That's the whole. You don't have something that later the Torah is going to ask them. So this is only a theoretical question to know what was then at the time when they came into Eretz Yisrael. What were they permitted to do or not? It's no nafkamina. Says Rashi, Eino Chanami, there is no nafkamina. Says Rashi, Dreish v'kabel schar. Reish v'kabel schar. Udreish v'kabel schar. Who? Shetzrichim onu lamid alo emes. Vato pishekvar obar. Even though this is just it's a historical thing, it has nothing. It has no implications, no practical implications for us. Reish v'kabel schar. Because you want to know what the emes was. You want to know what's the truth. What did they do? I stand no gaya, but there's an in the Drosh for Kabbalah Scout to know the answer. Hazel Zakrash says the Rush, that there is no such thing in Shas that we find such a type of concept of drosh v'kabel schar, even though there's no implication at all. The only time the Gemara says it is if you want to know how to touch up a pasuk. If you want to know how to touch up a pasuk in Chumash, even though it has no application, like Gemara asked in Sanhedrin, how exactly with the skila of the shvarim on the animals that climbed up onto Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, we got to know how to touch up the pasuk. We want to know what was the pasuk saying over here. Did they throw the thing down, or did they throw it? What's shot in the pasuk? But if it's not going to be a shot in the pasuk, and it has no implication for today's time, so the Gemara never deals with that. The Gemara never has such shailas, and the Gemara never wants to know what the answer, what the chat is. And he brings a raya to him. The Gemara asks, in Masechta Yuma, the Gemara asks, how was the Seder of the Levisha of the Kehanim? What clothing did they put on first? What clothing did they put on second? The Mechastayim, the Tzainas, the Avnei, the Mikdas. What was the Seder? So the Gemara says, May da hava hava. What are you asking such a question? What was? The Gemara says, Loss is Lava. We got to know Loss is Lava. Because when there'll be Tchias HaMeisim and there'll be again the Seder Alavisha, we got to know what the Seder Alavisha. So the Gemara says, Loss is Lava. Moshe and Aaron will be there. You don't got to ask. But don't worry about it. Moshe and Aaron will be there. They'll tell us what it is. You don't got to know. Answers the Gemara. You're right. I shouldn't ask that. But I want to know what's the pshat in the psukim. What's the pshat in the psukim? How do you learn the pshat in the psukim? You learn pshat in the pasuk like this. Pshat in the pasuk like this. So I want to know how to learn pshat in the psukim. But over here, it's not no gayer to know a pshat in the pasuk. It's not no gayer to know a pshat in the pasuk. Boser nechira according to Rabbi Akiva is mutter in the midbar. The pasuk is about Shita, talking about later when they come into Eretz Yisrael. It's a shayla in halacha. A shayla in halacha that has no implications for today. It's only to know what the emes was. It's like the rush, it's not no good. Rashi, Bukhari is incorrect. But it's a good rush to know and a good Rashi to know. Says the rush, there is a nafkamina. The nafkamina is, he gives two nafkaminas, but according to the Nidvi Yehuda, they all come out to be one. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina says the rush, if a person comes along and makes a neder and asks us something, what's the lashon? The rush, is this. You never leave the nafkamina, the bayazu. There is a nafkamina. Someone who asks himself in oranges or roast beef. Roasted beef already. It's mutter, but he asks it himself. Mizman yadua ve'elech. Ukishiv higi azman ha'yelo me'osa amin shahaya ocha v'ha'elech achi higi azman im mutter lecha. It's nogea to know when you had something that was mutter and you asked it. The things that you had before you asked it are these. Continue to be mutter, and the only thing that's usher is new things that come into your possession, or even those things that you had in your possession already are usher. That's not Kamina de Shaila. Hazei Zak the Rush. Oh, so Mamela, let's get back to the question. The question was that Lechayr, the same Shaila that we have about what the Gemara asked about the Basim Lechira. Whether it's mutter to continue eating that after they come into Eretz Yisrael and they were given the din shvita. So we have the same shayla over here. The same shayla about by Matan Torah. Were they able to continue eating the chaylev and dam and chazah that they had put away? So they're the same shayla. So for some reason Rashi says it's not nogea. But it's not nogea. That's also not nogea. It's only nogea or a minute, but that's good for the shayla. That's also not nogea. It's not nogea. What they did in Har Sinai, it's not nogea. But according to the Rush says there is practical applications of this. What I mean to say is like this. That according to both the Rush and according to Rashi, it's poshit that it's usur. And the shayla of Nechira Coming into Eretz Yisrael has nothing to do with the shaila of the chazer, the chaylev, and the dam that they had before Mount Sinai, if it's us or not afterwards. Why not? The shittas harosh. So the Nei Nevi'im is medayik that it says that he made a neder to ask us something bisman yodua. Says the Nei Nevi'im, what does that mean? That he didn't say one day, I'm usher in roast beef now, from now on, for the next 30 days. That's not the Lashon. The Lashon is, bisman yodua. He put off his Easter. The Easter is here for when? In another 30 days. I made a neder now to be usher in another 30 days. Says the Night of Yehuda, that's comparable to the case of Nechira and Shechita. Why? By the case of Nechira and Shechita, what happened? The Torah in the Midbar said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar said, the first year that they were in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, you're going to need Shechita when you get into Eretz Yisrael. So it was already known that there is this Easter of eating without Shechita, but don't do it right away, you've got to do it later. It only applies later. Says the Magid Yehuda, so too, in a case where a person makes a neder, where he makes the neder now, but he's not answering himself now. He delayed it. He gave himself a dispensation, so to speak, for the next 30 days. The neder is going to start in 30 days. In 30 days, I'm going to be usher. Says the Magid Yehuda, in such a case, since he gave himself a dispensation that it's not starting right away, even though the Easter is somewhat here in the world already, so the same way he gave himself a dispensation, it doesn't start right away, it also doesn't apply to the things that were here before and that remain later. You hear what he's saying? But when the Easter is made immediately, the Easter is made immediately. In other words, if the person would make a neder right now, I'm asking myself a roast beef. And all the roast beef that he has in his freezer is usher. Because he didn't give himself a dispensation now that I'm making this neder, but what? It's going to be usher in 30 days. Like the case of in the Midbar, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know there's going to be a need for Shechita, but it's only going to be in another 14 years. Another 10, 40 years. Over there, when the Easter was delayed, it was so to speak here in the world already, the Easter, but it was put off. So in such a case, we say that the same way it was put off, maybe the kavanah satayra is also not to ask anything that was here from before. Maybe that's the kavanah of the person also, that it's not going to ask something which was here from before. But if the guy makes a neder immediately, right now, that the neder, I'm asking myself today from roast beef. So he didn't give any leeway to his neder now. He didn't give any leeway. He didn't give any dispensation. In such a case, anything is usher. He wasn't lenient in this neder. He wasn't liberal in this Easter over here. It's absolute right now. The neder is chal. By Mount Torah, it's the same thing. When the Torah asked Caleb and Dam and Chaza, it was immediately. The Torah said, right now, Caleb and Dam is usher. Caleb and Dam is usher. So anything from before is also. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't say, you know, there's an Easter Caleb and Dam, but I'm putting it off for 14 years. For 40 years. If that would have been what the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, then it would have been the same Shaila. Okay? That's the Nei Yehuda to answer the rush. And what if, and you know, and lo and behold, you know what one of his riyas to this is? Because he says, the Shaila of the Gemara is according to Rabbi Akiva, because there's a man named Marwal who argues on Rabbi Akiva, and this Shaila is only according to Rabbi Akiva. Asks the Nei Nevi'im Yehuda, why didn't Rabbi Yirmiya have the Shaila from his Amid Shaila? If a person has Chaylev and Dam and Chaza before Matan Torah, and then Matan Torah came, is it Osir or not? Does it become Osir? Why did, and that would be according to everybody, why did Rabbi Yirmiya ask the Shaila just that, no, they are just Rabbi, that only, you see the question only in Rabbi Akiva. He could have said this question that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman asked, and said, what's the din in that? Must be that there is no Shaila over there. Why is there no Shaila? Because the Easter is immediately. There was no dispensation in the Easter. Okay, that's how he says the Nei Nevi'im Yehuda. Rashi says, Bechlau, there's no nafkamina. What does that mean? So I saw that the Baruch Tam says like this. He says, Olam de Shavart, the Baal de Gavart. And it's a chur not shat in the rush, it's a shat in Rashi. it only has application, this Shaila, to the Shaila of the Gemara of Mechira, Hosan Mechira. Neder won't be a Shaila, Matan Taira won't be a Shaila, nothing will be a Shaila. That'll be Poshit that it's Osir. So there is no application of the Shaila. So the Shaila is only Nogay of Hosan Mechira. Why? So he says, Alam the Shavar, like this. He says, because before the mitzvah of Shechita was given, and they gave it to Eretz Yisrael, it was given only to Eretz Yisrael. But in the Vela, a dead animal was usher to eat even in the Midbar. If it dropped dead, if it died, you shot it, it was usher to eat. There was an Easter in the Vela. You had to do Nechira. You had to do this process called Nechira. So that means Nechira is like Shechita. You don't need a process of being mocked the behemoth. The process in the time of the Midbar was Nechira. Afterwards you need Shechita. It's a substitute, so to speak, of what the requirement is later. Is that the way you look at a chazah before Matan Torah, and that's mutter, and afterwards that's usher, that there was a replacement, there was a substitute for something that was mutter, and something that was usher, and there was a substitute? No! Before Matan Torah, Chazah was mutter. After Matan Torah, Chazah was usher. There was no replacement or a substitute that Nechir is like Shechita. So he said, that's the Shaila. Of course, when something was mutter before, and it becomes usher later, because Kali Yisrael came into being by Matan Torah, and then the Torah was given to us that Caleb is usher, Tebayim, B'nai Noach, Chazah is mutter. Dam is mutter, Chaylev is mutter, all the things are mutter. Now, we're on a high Madrega, we're Klal Yisrael, it's awesome. Is that the way you look at it? There was a replacement, there was a substitute, that's something. This was mutter before, now it becomes awesome. So of course it's going to be awesome. Why not? It's going to become awesome. Masha Einkein, in the case of Nechira and Shechita, there is a use in the Vela. It's not that you could eat in the Vela. It's also to eat in the Vela. Except Nechira, to accept what Shechita does. Nechira is the Bimkhan Shechita. So that's the Shaila. So we say that this Bimkhan Shechita has its potency even when Shechita was given? What? So that's the Shaila. So according to Rashi, that says there's no Nafkamina, that's why there's no Nafkamina. Because in the case of a Neder, it's also, the thing was mutter, and now it becomes usher. There's no substitute, a replacement for something that you could say that this is like this. So Mamela, you have the Hector still continues. About the Easter, there's an Easter. Once the Torah said an Easter, or a person asked it to the thing, it becomes usher. But if the Lumdus is that it's a replacement, it's a substitute for this, it's a B'mkhan Shechita, that type of concept, then it's going to be mutter. Maybe mutter, maybe usher. That's the Shaila of the Gemara. That's the pshat in Rashi. Why there is no Shaila? Why didn't Rashi not learn like the Rush? Rashi didn't learn like the Rush because of the Svarik. He understood that that's the Shaila. Shaila is only in the case of the Nechira. Okay. I always say over as an introduction, push it to be yotze. That's be yotze, but it's a good to take it to heart. The things that I'm speaking to now, I think we should are things that we should think about, contemplate. Yotze chacham, you know, you should a chacham will be meisa to it. And it's nogei everybody, nogei all of us, nogei myself, nogei everybody. Rav Hutna used to say, when a Yom Tov went by, that the people use an expression that another Yom Tov went by. Pesach went by, Shavuos went by. Right, that's what you say. Yeah, Shavuos went by. Passover passed over. The same. Rav Hutna used to say that's incorrect. What you should say is, we gained another Yom Tov. We gained another Yom Tov. We gained another Shavuos. In other words, somewhat, we have to live the Shavuos. The Shavuos has to be integrated into us. That we gained another Shavuos. Not another Shavuos went by. I got another Shavuos. I absorbed. I integrated into myself another Shavuos. heard that Reb Chatzkel Levenstein used to say, that the difference between a bigger person and a not such a big person, everyone does lulav, everyone does tefillin, everyone does kriyashma, everyone does. We all do the outward trappings of the mitzvah. The difference is, how much does one feel and sense the mitzvah? How much do you sense and feel the mitzvah? How much is the mitzvah part of your being? Doing Ritzayin Hashem, doing the mitzvah, how much is it you? How much do you feel it? How much do you sense it? The Shalosh says, Hashayasa ha'adam, oisam ha'adam b'chai bohem. What does it mean? So the Chazal Darshan, b'chai bohem b'loshe yomus bohem, that the mitzvahs were given to live and not to die. The Shalosh HaKadosh says, Hashayasa oisam ha'adam b'chai bohem. You should live them. Should live the mitzvah, not just that it's a superficial type of act that the person does. The chayvon, you have to live the mitzvah. So I want to talk about a little bit what Matan Torah means to us. Matan Torah is a special, special day. Klal Yisrael is a special, special people. Klal Yisrael is a nation that shouldn't have come into being at all. Same hashkafas that maybe you heard, and that's it, but it's good that we've had it. It's a nation that shouldn't have come into being at all. The Fi, the Teva, the astrology, which is the Teva, Klal Yisrael shouldn't have come into being. Avraham Avinu shouldn't have had children. Klal Yisrael shouldn't have been in this world. We are a nation that's not within Teva. Our whole coming into being is above Teva, is not in Teva. Avraham Avinu was taken above the stars. I can tell you, you're not bound by Teva. Your whole being is not bound by Teva. Your whole coming into being is not bound by Teva. Yitzchak Avinu, Alpi, the genetics and according to normal biological things of heredity and everything, there shouldn't have been a Yitzchak Avinu. There shouldn't have been a Klal Yisrael. But we were above the Teva. We're above the Teva. We were taken out of Mitzrayim. Lovo lo kachas lo goy mikerev goy. Mitzrayim represents the natural world with all its, with the natural world, the evils of the natural world. All the tumas Mitzrayim, the taivas of Mitzrayim, ervas Mitzrayim. The natural world, what it presents in its all its glory. They were the greatest country scientifically in Kishuv, but they were also the most decadent society. That's what the natural world is. Klal Yisrael was taken out of it. L'tachas lo goy mikerev goy, Chazal say, like an uber, like a little baby within the womb of its mother, taken out. We were part of that teva, so to speak, superficially, so to speak. And we were taken out. Klal Yisrael is not shaykh to Teva. Our being is not shaykh to Teva. We were taken out of the Teva. Now, the Yavit says, you want to see the biggest nace, a nace even bigger than Yetzias Mitzrayim? Take a look at Klal Yisrael that we exist to this day. The fact that Klal Yisrael exists to this day is l'mala midarach ha-Teva. How can the Jewish nation exist with all the hatred and all the anti-Semitism and all the persecutions and all the assimilations and everything that happens, how can Klal Yisrael continue to exist? Teretz says, we're the Mala Midarech HaTeva. Klal Yisrael is the Mala Midarech HaTeva. We're a special nation. Which nation? I mean, you probably all you heard this, these kind of ideas, but which nation, I ask you guys, controls and a history revolves around a nation as much as Klal Yisrael? The whole world is talking about the little Israel. Israel is responsible for all the problems of the world. Israel is the front of the news. The most hated country in the world after Iran and Pakistan now is Israel. We took third place, and before we were fourth place, because some other country was before us and they became good. I heard once the Nobel Peace Prize winner from Ireland, whatever his name is. So one of the people that I saw said, Now I know why he won the Nobel Peace Prize. He won it a couple of years ago. Why? Because he said he condemned Israel for attacking the nuclear, what do you call it, in Syria. The nuclear plant that they were building in Syria this past year that the Israeli Air Force knocked out. So he condemned it. Tonight, so he's jokingly said, you know, sarcastically said, now I know why he won the Nobel Peace Prize, because he condemned Israel for doing the right thing. That the whole world will be happy that happened. But Israel is in the forefront of everything. Yisrael, we belong to a special nation. I mean, guys, you have to know that. You belong to a special nation. A nation that's l'malam derech ha-teva. That's above normal things that are happening. Whereas a nation, la'am l'bozer dishkom, we're a nation that's supposed to be by itself. Good, we left teva. We're not shaykh to teva. We're not shaykh to the natural, real world as we know it. So what am I shaykh to? What am I shaykh to? God, please, I want to be shaykh to something. I'm here without a nation. I'm not shaykh to Shibim Umos. I'm not shaykh to anything. What am I? I'm in the twilight zone. Give me something to be shaykh to. So Hashem said, I'll give you what to be shaykh to. You're shaykh to me. That was Mount Terah. Those are the two things that it mentions in Parshas Veschanah. I took you out of Mitzrayim. You're not shaykh to the material, natural, real world anymore. But please, but who am I shaykh to? What am I, where am I living? I'm living in a no man's world. I'm not shaykh to Teva. What am I shaykh to? You're shaykh to God. You're shaykh to the Eibishter. You belong in His world. That was Mount Tayyarah. So that's what it says in Parshas Veschanah. Hanisa elokim lobo lo kachas lo goy mikerev goy. Ask. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ask from the beginning of time till the end of time. From the beginning of creation to the end of recreation. All mankind, ask. Was there ever a time, Hanisa Lakim Lavola Kachas Lo Goy Mikerev Goy, that God took out a nation from another nation, which means He took us out of the world? Hashem Lakim, Adam Tal Lakim Kamocha Vayechi. And then Hashem said, did anyone ever have the word of God spoken to him? You are not shaykh to this world, you're shaykh to another world. You're shaykh to the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We live with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Klal Yisrael is so detested in this world, and that's why we're so special in this world, and that's why we have such a mitzvah. We're going to have an eternity, because the real world, the material world, the technical world, is finite. It's finite. Anything material comes and will decay at the end. That's what the material world, the natural world, decays. But if that's not our world, and that's not who we are, and that we're shaykh to a much higher world than that, we're shaykh to a different world, the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's our world, that's Nitzchias, that doesn't decay, that lives forever. Know this, guys, we are a special nation. We are a nation shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what I heard once. I heard from Rav Shimshon Pinkus said, you know what he said the highlight of Shavuos is? You know what the highlight of Shavuos is? So he said, the learning, the first point is the learning. That's not the highlight yet. The learning, the night of the learning, of course, that's biggie number one. Biggie number two is Musaf. The Musaf, Kesser, everything, the Musaf was the, you know what the highlight of everything is? The Suda. The party that you make. To show that it's terrific being in that world. It's terrific to be in that world. To be in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I want to talk. It was just an introduction. What happened at Mount Tayyarah? Again, I'm throwing out some ideas. I'm just going to touch on the ideas a little bit. Think about it. What happened at Mount Tayyarah? You know what happened at Mount Tayyarah? We went into a new world. We went into a new world that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're part of that world, not of this world. There was a marriage at Mount Tayyarah. We, so to speak, are married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. it's an idea that blows the mind. We're married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chosin and Kala. But I want to show you something. Very interesting. This is again, I'm saying things which are important to know, but it's Machshava, I'm throwing it out so that you could add to it, and if it, whatever it does to help you understand or to be Mashpia on yourself, so to say it and tell me over. We find there was two marriages at Matan Torah. Matan Torah represented two marriages, you know that? Everyone said, what do you mean? It's only one marriage. It's two marriages. I'll bring you right from the book. One marriage was, you know what? One marriage was between Klal Yisrael and the Torah. And the Torah. There's rayas to it. Marosha Kilas Yaakov, I'll take Marosha and Marosha. The Torah is betrothed to us. First, we're married to the Torah. What's our relationship over there? We are the Chosin, and the Torah is the Kala. It's my first. She's the Marosha, she's the Nara Marosha, she's the one that the Umas Olam want to learn Torah, they're raping her. She belongs to us, the Torah belongs to us. She's our wife. We're the Chosin, she's the Kala. There's another marriage that's happening. You know what that marriage is? That's the marriage between we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There it changes. There we're the Kala and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chosin. What's the idea behind this? I want to say like this, just throwing out an idea, and I think it's MS. How do we become married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not two separate things that went on. It's one that led to the other one. Don't things happen at Mount Tyrus? Guys, do you understand what happened at Mount Tyrus? I hate to use it as a muscle even, but you know, the nuns have a ring, they wear rings, the nuns. You know they wear rings? Next time, don't look at the nuns' rings. They can see they wear rings. But they wear a ring. They wear a wedding band. You know why they wear a wedding band, the nuns? Because they're married to, you know, they're married to the church, they're married to God. He can really marry them because you know he's real you. But he's married. They're married. They're married to their God. The Havdal, Elvah, whatever concepts seem to be a very high concept. All their concepts that they have that seem like a high concept they stole from us. That you should know. Anyone who listens to Errol Wine's tapes or anyone who listens to any tapes, you know that anything that's somewhat smacks of Kedusha and Ruchnius or something, they stole from the Jews. They stole the Romans, the Catholic Church, the Pontifex Maximus over there, the chief pagan Roman god, you know, the Pope, the Pape. They stole it from them, they stole it from the Jews. But that idea that you're married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, it's an entirety, each individual is married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we get a kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Be married to the Torah. You are the chosin, the Torah is the kala. You are somewhat the fearer. You are the leader over here. The kala, she's under your protection. The Torah is under your protection. You have obligations to your wife. She has obligations to you. That's what the Torah does. You have to protect the Torah. I heard a verse from in learning. I heard a verse in learning. When I was learning Oisha Rabbah with one of my chavrus a long time ago with Yisrael Gustin in the Mir Yeshiva. And you may have heard of his name, Yisrael Gustin's Rabbeinish son-in-law. Anyway, he said, like he once wanted to say, that this that Chazal make Gzeiris and Takonis, you shouldn't do this because you'll come to be Machal Shabbos. So we learned up from the parsec Mishmeres L'Teirosoi. Make a Mishmeres for the Torah. So he said, he had this idea. He said, you know why the Torah said, don't get turned off by this word. It shows the godless of Torah, but don't think that it minimizes we, Klal Yisrael. You think why Chazal made a gzeira, you shouldn't do this because you may come to do a chilul Shabbos of skila. You think that the reason is because Hashem wants to protect, the Chazal wants to protect you, that you can do that and come to be mechuyav misa? No. It's to protect the Torah! It's a mishmeres for the Torah! The Torah gets abused when you transgress the Torah. Look at it like that. Your wife gets abused when you transgress the Torah. So transgressing, you're going to get punished for transgressing it. But the Torah is abused. We have to protect the Torah. The Torah shouldn't be abused. So the Zayrus aren't to protect you so much as to protect the Torah. Because if you keep being labor on the Torah becomes nothing. It becomes an abused person, an abused object. It's to protect the Torah. We have to protect the Torah. We have a covenant with the Torah. We protect her, she protects us. We're support the Torah, the Torah supports us. But we have to, we look at it, it's like we're the guiding person over here in the relationship. Maybe because our understanding of Torah is what Torah is. Maybe that's the end. I don't know. Once we have this marriage between Klal Yisrael and the Torah, that's the only way that you can get the marriage between Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then it becomes the reverse. We become the Talah, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu becomes the Chosen. He's the one that protects us, he's the one that guides us, he's the one that has obligations to us, we have obligations to him. Stam of Paparos, Latira, Paparos, Yedias. I once heard many, many years ago that why is Rabbeinu Gershon called my Rabbeinu Gershon Mara Goyla? Why do you call Mara Goyla? He got such a terrific title, Mara Goyla. So I once heard like this. You know why I got Mara Goyla? Because he made none of his different takonas that he made, Zayrit takonas that he made, two of his takonas are what? That you can't divorce against the wife's will, and you can't take two wives. Those are the two famous takonas he made. Hope he didn't tell you can divorce a woman against her will. She doesn't have consent to the divorce. According to Din Tari, you can take 10 wives, 18 wives, what the Gemara says. He made takonas you can't. That's why he's called Mara Goyla. Why? Because of our sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take another wife. We are the wife of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should take another wife. Take the whoever they are. Take another nation. He can't take another nation. Now I'll take a second wife. Okay, take a second wife, get rid of the first wife, and then you'll take a second wife. He can't get rid of the first wife because we don't want to get divorced. So he can't divorce us against the will. So our whole kiyum, that we are the beloved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remained the wife of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to all time, is because in death it's gratitude to Rabbeinu Gershon Mara Goyla. That's why it's called Mara Goyla. Anyway, let's get back. We find, I'm just putting this parenthetically in because I want to get to the thing, it's getting late. Okay, what's this? We also call Banim Hashem. Banim Hashem. We're called Banim Hashem. Look what we are. We're Banim Hashem, we're Avadim Hashem, we're married to Hashem, we're the Kala, we're the Chosen, we're all these things. When do we come Banim Hashem? Chosen and Kala, married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avadim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we probably got it. Banim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we got from the others. We find we're called Banim Hashem already in Mitzrayim. B'nei B'chayr Yisrael, we're Banim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'll throw out a ha'ara to you, why, when we mention in the, you know, Hayom HaRasol, Hayom Yami, B'mishon, Im Ka'avonim, Im Ka'avonim, Im Ka'avonim. Why isn't there any mention, Im Ka'ishto L'Bala? Why don't we mention that? Why don't we mention that relationship with the that the Kadosh Baruch Hu should have Rachmanis on, we're like your wife. Anyway, ha'ara. Okay. We should know what we are. What happened in Mount Tayyar? So I want to go quickly further. The Jewish calendar, the minig of Klal Yisrael, Alts minig, what's brought down in Chazal, what's brought down in the Minhagim, we do two things before Matan Torah. Before Shavuos, every year we do two things. Number one, we learn Pirkei Avos. That's a minhag in Klal Yisrael, you learn Pirkei Avos. And also we lain Parshas B'chukosai B'kosh before Shavuos. What's the idea behind it? Why do we do those two things? So the pshat is like this. Pirkei Avos you learn before Matan Torah. Teracheres Kadmah L'Torah. You have to work on your mitzvahs. Before you can be Mekabel Torah, you have to be a person worthy of being Mekabel Torah. Torah wasn't given to animals and barbarians. It was given to a person that will be a person. You have to work on your mitzvahs. For 49 days, you have to work on your mitzvahs. Pirkei Avos. Those are the 6 weeks and the 7 weeks before Shavuos. And the crowning thing is Perek Shishi. What's Perek Shishi? Called Kinyan HaTorah. The 48 ways, the godless of Torah. Pirkei Avos tells you, I always said over, if you want to do a good preparation for yourself, as a good Muslim says, as Seder, or a good preparation for Shavuos, learn Perek Shishi of Kinyan HaTorah, of Pirkei Avos. It talks about the godless of Torah, Rabbi Meir, how he starts off, Kol Olami Torah Lishma, Zeichel Advarim Harbei, the godless of Torah, what Torah gives a person, the different characteristics that you get through the greatness and the godless and the meridic, the different things that you get when you learn Torah Lishma. And then it talks about the 48 ways of how you kind of Torah, which is what you need. Okay, I want to talk about one of the things later, soon, because it's coming soon. That's what you do when you learn Pirkei Avos. In the Teichacha, in the Parshas Kosai, we learn it for two things. And here I'm getting to the heavy stuff, guys. Here I'm getting to the heavy stuff. First of all, it's a double question. The Gemara in Megillah says, why you learn Kukosai before, because all the klalos should go out before the new year comes in. The new year of Torah comes in. The new year of the din, whatever it is, Gemara Megillah said. So all the klalos of the Teichacha should be washed away. It's in the past. The klalos are in the past. But what does it teach us in Parshas Kukosai? In Parshas Kukosai teaches us two things. Remember. That Torah, Limud HaTorah, is the starting off point and the impetus and the stimulus and the begatter, what begats, what gives forth, what's molded, everything that will lead you to a higher plane of Ruchnius, which will God grant you. God will grant you the highest plane of Gashmius. Right? That's what we believe. If you're on a high plane of Ruchnius, you're Tzaddik. The world will be great for you also. That's why it's in Kukosai. In the Kukosai, Teileichu, Tisig Lachem Daisha Spotzer, Batsi Yatzidam, all the Nasati Gishmechem, Be'itam, the enemies will fall before you, all the brothers. Everything starts with Torah. In the Kukosai, Teileichu, until you are Melim B'Torah. Torah is the starting point. Torah leads to all the things that will lead you up to a higher plane. And the opposite is true. You can't, and it's a double push, think about it. If you think that you can be, hold on to your practicing as a Jew without Amelus and Torah, and learning Torah with an Amelus, each one on his Madrega, you will eventually, if you do not learn Torah, you won't be ashamed of mitzvahs. You'll do it, but it'll weaken. It becomes without any feeling. The mitzvah becomes without any feeling. If you don't have the learning behind it, so the mitzvah itself becomes something rote, something a ceremony, it's something, it's a chitzenius, who needs to do it at all? I'll believe in it, who needs to do it? When you learn about sukkah, when you learn about this, when you learn about Baba Kama, when you learn about the different things that the Torah deals with, that gives you an insight. Your mind is attached to Ruchnius. Your mind is attached to the mitzvah. then you'll do the mitzvah. If you don't, you'll lose eventually the hold on the mitzvah. You lose the hold on the mitzvah, you can't stand other people doing the mitzvah. You fight against religion. You become a kaifer b'ikar. Don't fool yourselves. You bring me right, this guy doesn't learn, but he has some attachment to Limud HaTorah. He has some attachment to Limud HaTorah to go to a Daf Yomi Shia, but you don't want to be a Daf Yomi guy. You want to be the one that what you're learning is going to attach you forever for all generations. Limud HaTorah is what attaches us. And then there's another important thing. Get ready. Okay? All worth it for this. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch says, the Teichecha starts off. You did seven Aveiros. You didn't learn, and that caused you not to do the mitzvahs, and then you couldn't stand other people doing the mitzvahs, and then you hated people who do the mitzvahs, you couldn't stand them doing it, you stopped them from doing mitzvahs, you became a Kaifer B'Tayra, you became a Kaifer B'Ikar. Then you became totally belligerent and fighting against God. That's the beginning of the thing. Then later, Hashem brings punishments, and then the pasuk says, "Ooh, v'halachta mi b'keri, halachta mi b'keri." So I'm reading a Rav Hirsch now. Look at what he says. Now, holach in going with God b'keri. What does that mean? Keri means coincidentally, by chance. He says. Now, holachim quite definitely means going with somebody. Going in agreement together with somebody, accordingly, when used as here of us with God, would indicate, if we're going with God, would indicate not behaving against His will. We're not belligerent against God anymore. The curses, the first teichecha took us out of that. We're not belligerent anymore, we're not fighting anymore against God. But rather fulfilling that which is in accordance with His will. In any case, the Degadzidnei, at least in comparison with the extreme stage of defection just described, the seven Averis is a tremendous defection. Like we defected from being God's people anymore. We hate God, we're belligerent against Him. But Holach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a movement back to betterment. We're getting better. But it has the addition of Keri. Your Holach in me is only Keri. Your way of life being in agreement with my will is only something casual. It happens to be in accordance. It is not your direct intention, your deliberate purpose, not what it should be, your very first determination coming before any other consideration to obey, only to do that which is in accordance with my will. You are no longer in principle an opponent to my will. You're not against God, but you are indifferent to God. Quite other considerations decide your line of conduct, and you leave it to chance whether it is in contradiction to me or falls within my will. What does that mean? It means he's saying very simple. What my agenda comes first. My agenda comes first. If God's agenda fits into it, good. I'm not against God. I'm not going to do something against Him. You know, just to spite Him and to go against Him. But he's got to fit into my agenda. He's got to fit into my agenda. If my agenda doesn't conform with God, so guys, I'm talking to everybody, I'm talking to myself also. I'm not going to say that we're going to be chazer. Because my agenda is that I want to have a good meal, so I'm going to go eat chazer. It doesn't conform with Hashem. Okay, but good, I'm not against God. If a better meal would be in a kosher place, I would go there also. This doesn't fit into my agenda. So it goes against God. I'm not even talking about, we're not holding that. Maybe that's what they were talking about over here, but no, he's not even talking about it. He means what I'm saying now. Even if it's not enough there. But, what should I say? Going home early, let's say. It doesn't fit into my agenda. So whose agenda is fitting into who? God's agenda is fitting into mine, or my agenda is fitting into God's agenda. That's what he means over here. It's a double portrait. That's what he means. Good. That's what each person has to know himself and has to understand himself and has to speak to the people that will understand them and to dissect it and to analyze it and to know what the real reasons are and everything. But we must make a cheshbon hanefesh about this point. We must make a cheshbon hanefesh about this point. Are we the halakhim mean the terror? That the terrible taifa comes from that. And that's maybe the reason, one of the reasons why we landed before the Shavuos. Because we have to understand that when we went into this marriage with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, with all the greatness that it means. But you have to know that that's what it means. Your agenda has to be subservient to our Kodesh Baruch Hu's agenda. To say it better, your agenda should be our Kodesh Baruch Hu's agenda. You know what? That's a Baruch Hu, that's a Mishnah Novice. Hasei Ritzoncha Kiritzono. Make his will your will. Your agenda shouldn't be taking priority, or shouldn't even be on a parallel course. Whose agenda are we serving? Our agenda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda. Those two things we learn from the Torah. That Torah, our malice in Torah, is what gives us the hold on anything that we want in Ruchnis. Any hold in mitzvahs, any hold in anything has to be through Limud HaTorah. And second of all, this point about the agenda, which God forbid we should be among the halachim yimei b'keri. And we b'keri should be sensitive to this. We're the ones who should appreciate Torah more than anything. I just want to end off with one last thing. When Pirkei Avos, another thing that let's take ourselves to task about this, maybe. Again, taking myself to task about it. You pick the other, I didn't have to think, but it says one of the 48, two of the 48 ways, it says, you have a sitter. You do a sitter? It does take this room, we'll go to Myers. Pick the other, yeah, okay. Pick the other in the 48 ways. So it says, in Parashishi, it says, yeah, what the 2 to 48 ways there? It says here, b'shmiyas ha'ayin marikas sotayim b'yunas alay b'emo v'anav v'yir v'simcha b'shimit b'kut. Right? It says b'yishuv. Be settled. That means the mind is wandering. You have to be settled. Then it says later, umisyashev libo b'talmudah. B'yishuv umisyashev libo b'talmudah. It's written, mentioned 10 points later. What are these two things? I heard a shot of question. What are these two things? B'yishuv umisyashev libo b'talmudah. What are they? Think to be repetitious. So I heard Hashem the Sfasemeth like this. B'yishuv means, yeah, you gotta be settled. Your mind can't be running. You have to be settled before you learn. You have to be relaxed. You have to be settled. That's B'yishuv. You know what Misyashev Libo B'Talmudo means? It means like this. You had a hard day. It was a frustrating day. Let's say you're out in the world. You had a hard day, you had a frustrating day. You didn't get the promotion, you fought around with the boss, you got whatever, you lost money on the stock market, it's going down, terrible, dollars going down, everything, you got a terrible day. You heard this bad thing happen, this, and you come home. You come home to your home. You open up a black Gemara. Oh, wow, I'm relaxed now. This relaxes me. Yashev Libo B'Talmudo. All his daigas, all his frustrations, all his things that are going through his mind that he's not a man, that he's not settled. Torah will make him settled. Yashev Libo B'Talmudo. Are we Yashev Libo B'Talmudo? Or is Torah for us like a bit of pill, Nebuch, that we got to swallow? But they tell a story about the Kloisenberger Rebbe, that he once invited, there was once a big patron that came to the sons. Netanya, big donor, and he told him to come. He came at 9, he told him to come to see me the next morning at 9 o'clock. Next morning at 9 o'clock, the guy's waiting there, 10 to 9 already, and the Rebbe tells the Gabbai, send in the Shir Gimel, the kibbutz, I want to say, Shir. 9 o'clock, they all start walking in, the guy's looking over there, the Gvir's looking over there, the big patron, he can't believe what's happening. And the Shir goes on till 9:45. He gives him a Shir, finishes the Shir, he goes back to the patron, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and says, Mistami, you're very angry at me. So he says, yes, somewhat. You told me to be here at 9, and I was here at 9, and you put me off. What's going on? You know. He says, I'll tell you what happened. The night before, I had a tremendous migraine headache. And all the pressures, I had the physical migraine, I had the pressures of everything that's on my shoulders, that the burdens that are on my shoulders, everything went through my head, and I'm like, I thought, that's what he said in Yiddish, as a geois, I mean, I'm expiring, God, I'm leaving the world. The next morning, I woke up with the same headache, with the same problems, with the migraine, with the physical migraine, the mental migraine. I said, I got to get out of this. Bring in the boys to say a shir. This is how shir we will come out. After I said the shir, I was relaxed. Now I can talk to you. Before, I wasn't in the case to talk to you. This is how shir we will come out. That Torah should be a thing that we should run to because it's pashut relaxing. It's geschmack. It's relaxing. It's not threatening. We have an obligation to it. A elevated obligation that God gave us the schus to be loim de Torah, to be married to the Torah, to be married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with the schus, we should somehow divert our agenda in the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda. We should say Ritzono Kirtzonecha, Patel Ritzono, Ritzoncha, Ritzono, Shukidei, Shetasa Ritzono, Ritzoncha, Kirtzono. We should all be zeichetaket to be makabel the Torah and to learn shpark and to appreciate what we have. We're a special nation. We have a special mission. We have a special place in this world. We are ama nifkar. We are above teva, but we're shaykh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's from nowhere, holy nowhere in this world. And with that schus, we're shaykh to nitzchias. And as much as we learn, we bring bracha to ourselves. We bring bracha to the whole world. We should all be safe to the ideas of Shreds King. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.